This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. A new documentary takes a look at how local and national media organizations covered candidates during last year's first-in-the-nation presidential primary. Director Kevin Bowe takes a critical look at both the media and those who consume it inside their social media echo chambers. Bowe joins me now to talk about the documentary, which is called Democracy Through the Looking Glass, Media and Politics in the Post-Truth Era. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
So why did you want to make this film?
Well, I guess the real question is why did I want to go up to New Hampshire and follow the New Hampshire primary for 9 months? And then I fell into making the film. And I think like a lot of Americans who are politically aware or active, we feel that, at least I feel that, there's too much polarization. There's too much people not understanding, you know, each other. The body politic, I felt, was not healthy. And so I wanted to go up to New Hampshire just to take a temperature of what that would be like. And, you know, it just morphed.
You focused on a few things that the media did not, in your view, do correctly. Can you tell us about some of those?
Well, sure. I think the biggest thing is that, and again, I just want to back up the, you know, this is not an examination of individual media outlets or individual reporters, but rather really the systemic or systematic media environment. And I think one of the more enlightening things is that there's a disconnect between what media reporters are asking questions about and what the voters are asking questions about. And clearly, the media, you can go to one of these campaign events and talk to a reporter and talk to a voter, and they will have completely different versions of what happened. The media tends to be looking at the strategy, the horse race, where the voters are looking at or asking questions about problems that affect their lives. And I think that that disconnect translates to a lot of distrust or a lot of alienation that people have with the media because they're not covering stories that they feel are important. Increasingly, it seems that the media no longer writes stories about people and problems. They write stories about the optics of the campaign. And I think that that is a big problem in our discourse right now.
I actually have a clip from your movie. You put together alternating clips of questions from people who attended campaign rallies in New Hampshire, and then also questions from the media. So let's play that. Let's listen to that part of the movie.
What do you say to your loyalists who fear that you botched it last night and they're starting to walk away?
What are you going to do to help people get out of poverty, especially kids who are being set up to not have any chance in the future?
You bring a lot of people out, but you don't do as heavy of the retail politics, handshaking, as a lot of the other candidates
don't do. Don't believe everything you read in the New York Times.
My question is about equal pay for women, and I have heard, thank you, it's very important.
Dr. Carson, you had a phone call with Kanye.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm very curious to ask you as a neurosurgeon and not a politician about the Affordable Care Act.
So those were alternating questions from people at campaign rallies asking a variety of questions to people like Ben Carson and Bernie Sanders, for example. And then people from the media asking relatively silly questions, right, like about a phone call between Ben Carson and Kanye West, the rapper. Do you think that these kinds of exchanges are representative of what really happened on the ground?
Well, obviously, I didn't have the evidence to say it was representative. I walked away with the impression that, you know, 10% of the questions asked at these gaggles of press conferences were really of substance. And so that's why I had a lot of glee. Well, that's why I was happy to see that Harvard issued a study that basically confirmed a lot of the intuition that I had. And that study basically said that the mainstream media coverage during the primaries devoted about 10% of the coverage to issues of substance and the other 90% to issues of strategy and horse race. So the study confirmed my impression. So I don't want people to say that I'm making the charges that the, you know, media doesn't cover issues in a great way. I'll just point to this Harvard study.
Yeah, I looked at the Harvard study too, and it divided it up in a few different ways. And one of the ways that was not included in that 10 or 11% that you mentioned was coverage of, for example, debates. which would ostensibly be about campaign issues, right? Things that these voters were talking about.
Well, could I disagree with you on that for a moment?
You may, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that was a different category in that particular sure. study that you cite. Another thing in that study had to do with fundraising, which I would argue a lot of voters do care about because voters want to know where the money going to these candidates is coming from.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. A couple of points. You know, we can't look at individual debates, and at least we haven't looked at individual debates and measured what kind of questions we're doing, you know, what we're asking what. But one thing that jumps out in the last Clinton-Trump debate is, for instance, no questions during the debate about global warming. I think there was, even in the debates, there was a lot of strategy questions, a lot of questions about character, which is good. But
which was counted in the 10% that you mentioned in that Harvard study as a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. But I think even in the debate questions, there's a lot of void of substance.
There's another moment here where you call out the local press for what you're referring to as an obsession. So I want to play that part.
Then there was the local media, who obsessed on keeping New Hampshire's primary first. As a result, they sucked up a lot of oxygen with questions like these.
Should New Hampshire have the first in the nation primary? We've seen the RNC float the idea of changing things up.
The Republican National Committee chairman has already talked about the possibility of us to do away with the primary in its current status.
Should New Hampshire continue to be first in the nation?
But with $100 million in TV advertising being placed during the primary, you'd be asking that question too.
So that was a story that did come up during the presidential primary, the election cycle, about whether or not New Hampshire deserved to have this place as first of the nation in primary. Why not have local media discuss this question, especially if it was presented higher up in the Republican Party?
Sure. Well, it's clearly a legitimate issue, and it's clearly an issue that the press should be asking. And again, just to back up a little bit, I think that when I talk about the local press, I think that critique that I'm giving right now for the New Hampshire press would have been true if the primary was in Delaware, would have been true, I'm sure, with the Iowa press. It's more of a local press critique as opposed to, you know, anything individual. However, we didn't hear those questions from the voters. Now, we know that the voters care about keeping New Hampshire first, and it's a legitimate question. But I just felt it dominated the limited time that reporters have to ask questions. And that's the important thing. I mean, I was embedded with the press, and I felt privileged to have a chance to ask presidential candidates questions. And I just felt that I wanted to make the best of it. And not to say that it's not a legitimate issue, not to say that strategy and horse race is not legitimate stories. I just felt that in total, the cumulative effect was an inordinate amount of superficial questions and not enough questions that put candidates on the record.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that local news organizations made the decision to cover that because of advertising revenue?
I think that the local media capitalizes on, let me just back up. I do believe that there is a separate wall between editorial and business. However, the truth is that there are business decisions made to make sure that they capture as much advertising dollars as possible. It's how the system works. It's tough to be critical or to imply, you know, nefarious motives when that's how the system works. So, you know, you just can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to place any calls to local media organizations to discuss how they decided to make whatever coverage decisions they made?
No, I did not.
Okay. You turned some of the blame, too, on consumers of media. I think it was Andrew Smith at UNH that you interviewed who said, we've seen the enemy and he is us. What did you think he meant by that?
Well, I'm going to back up and say that this is not a movie blaming the media. This is not a movie about blaming, you know, conservatives or liberals. This is a movie about us as people and citizens and our responsibility. And I think that the individual behaviors, my behavior, your behavior, our collective behavior defines how our media works, defines our politicians. So, you know, if you believe that the individual is empowered to make decisions, then we have to take responsibility for what we have. And, you know, we're the consumers of this media. We allow our politicians to say and do what they do. So at the end of the day, it's our obligation. And I'm not sure if I answered that question right, but, you know, or at least the way you wanted it. But, you know, that's where I'm coming from. And to say that we have met the enemy and it is us, again, is trying to shine the light of who's really responsible for our political system.
Kevin Boehm is the director of the new documentary, Democracy Through the Looking Glass, Media and Politics in the Post-Truth Era. Kevin, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your time.
And this film premieres tonight at Red River Theaters in Concord.